Ches and Yutes. Before I do that, just a quick comment. Two comments. Number one, Akiva. Where's Akiva? Yeah, brought to my attention correctly that when we were talking about the the Nodi Bihuda, that that the Nodi Bihuda has a slightly different take on all this, and that is that you the factors, that will justify, salvaging Kim Shtaros, even if they themselves are don't seem to have the capacity, in Dine Mominis or in Davar Sheba Erva, but the way that it may work is that, whatever is going on, kind of negates the status of Cheskas Eishes Ish, and once, you don't have Eishes Ish to concern yourself with, the Cheskas Eishes Ish, that then, you can apply principle like Eirecha Neman B'Yisurin. I think when I was discussing it, I was kind of putting it back into the, model of the Medak Dayek, which we saw was the Habamina V'Lecha Mishnah, and a position of the Pnei Yoshua, and something that the Nodi Bihuda initially, considers, although again, because of apples and oranges reasons that I don't find, I wouldn't say I don't find it compelling. I do find it compelling. I just don't find it muchrach. So he kind of, shied away from that. Akiva pointed out that really all the Nodi Bihuda requires in order to neutralize Cheskas Eishes Ish. You have the line there or just... Yeah, so what he says is that what neutralizes Cheskas Eishes Ish is Reish Lakish, not Medak Dayek. So that's also just very interesting. I mean, this idea that you can attack that part, kind of discreetly, but how do you do that? And, for him, Reish Lakish itself, on a Daraisa level, neutralizes Cheskas Eishes Ish. And once that's the case, then Midaraisa, Eid Echad would be Naaman, B'Isurim. It's almost like the Gemara is going back to the original Havamina, right? But the way that it's able to accomplish that, is along the way. Once it establishes that Reish Lakish, that's how to read the Shach V'Tari of the Gemara, I guess. Once Reish Lakish is established to be itself a din doraisa, it negates Cheskas Eishes Ish, and then the idea that the original Eirecha Neman B'Yisurin, but it's not because of Medak Dayek. Sounds like he, is sticking with his guns, doesn't pass the threshold. So that's point number one I wanted to make. And then Eitan also made a good horror to me about how Rabbi Avigdor and the Rambam, would read the Gemara, right, Eitan? Yeah, go ahead. Just, again, because there's a line in the Gemara that, troubles everybody initially. Go ahead. Yeah. So again, that's just a way of better integrating their shita into the lashon of the Gemara, because this whole idea of yavo ba'al ma'arer pasolei, most Rishonim had to explain that's labdafka, right? That either means zil, it either means laz, or things like that, correct? And for the Rambam and Rav Avigdor, just it's a better read in the Gemara, so I think it's a good har. Okay. So let's go back to where we were the other day and try to finish up this part. So again, this question, whether or not Reish Lakish, how expansive is Reish Lakish? You know, does it apply only to these two cases? That we know already, that we're on the lookout for. We're not going to do that comprehensively, but we've already seen that, you know, there are Rishonim. Yeah. The what? Oh, yeah, yeah. That's Tovia had a good horror, too. Go ahead, please. Yeah, about the language.
Yeah.
That we were talking about the idea that, again, similarly, that, you know, maybe Eid Echad, you know, could be a factor here. Yeah, go ahead.
That the way that you read Reish Lakish is that Mahadir Bedinu Nikim Shtaris Nami Lodi Boy Trey, as opposed to just like
Boy. Right. So maybe the Trey is, you know, similar to like that idea of the Pnei Yoshua, you know, that that really, really, on the Raisa level, Kim Shtaros is also like an Echadem on the Surim. It doesn't need two. It just needs, you know, Hakara, right? So I think that's also a very nice deal. Yeah, thank you for that. So anyway, the different, you know, perspectives on how to answer the Rambam and Rabbi Avigdor are really, you know, they really, again, they push frontiers in certain questions that we've been dealing with, and certain other questions as well, and that's really important. Okay, so what we've been discussing beyond that was, you know, if the classic case, you know, of Reish Lakish is Kim Chigichuva Dechozer Magid and Mezuyah, and beyond that, you know, the Bavli doesn't use Reish Lakish, you know, but what we're pointing out is two things. Number one, Rishonim and Achronim do. They invoke Reish Lakish in other contexts, you know, too. Even like, you know, we've talked about Ein Shabbatla Mitzasa Batla Kula, you know, in Shtaros. But like, you know, you presume, you know, when you find a Karov, you know, Chasum in a Shtar, you know, that nobody really intended for him, you know, to be an aid, that it's more like an honorific. So some of the Rishonim say, after all, Eid Machsum al Shtar, Nasik Mishnach Gredusa Babasna. And again, when it comes to some of the issues of that we're discussing, we're in the middle of discussing, you know, Katan, you know, Anus, these kind of things. So, Psulim, you know, again, in Rishonim sometimes you'll find, you know, that discussions of it, they'll quote Reish Lakish, meaning not the Reish Lakish of that Gemara, but the Reish Lakish of Eidam Afsum al Ashtar, Nasa Kamishanak Rajusan, you know, the Bezd. Or when you find, or like, you know, you want, sometimes they'll say, you know, Chazaka Hakol B'Hekshar Nasa, you know, and sometimes they'll actually quote Eidam Afsum al Ashtar, Nasa Kamishanak Rajusan, the Bezd. Like when we were talking about, you know, the discussion between the Chachmei Sfarad and the Baalei Tosis and the Baal Amor and Rabbeinu Ephraim, you know, how is it even conceivable, you know, that Ashtaraya, right, would, you know, if you hold Edi Mesira, Karsi means Dafka, Edi Mesira, not Edi Chasima, so how do the Edi Chasima, you know, attest to, they might attest to the, you know, handing over of the Shtar that didn't fall out of somebody's pocket, you know, that was intentional, but how do they attest to the handing over the Shtar, you know, in the presence of Eidim Mesira, right? That whole, you know, discussion, the rips, you know, Raya, you know, for his Shita, the Eidim Chasima have to work as Eidim Chasima, right? So again, you know, if you look at various formulations, sometimes you'll see, you know, Chazaka Hakol B'Hekshar Nasa, you know, and here and there you'll find, you know, people quoting Reish Lakish. So this is a really, from a linguistic point of view, it's just interesting, but of course, we don't care about the linguistic point of view per se, but, you know, this expanded application, if you ask, like, you know, Reb Chaim, you know, these kind of questions, you know, I'm sure he'd be invoking, you know, Reish Lakish, you know, practically all day, you know, because that's the cornerstone of this idea of, you know, the expanded powers, self-protective, you know, capacity, you know, all of that, you know, really comes, according to, you know, these views, if they really are Eidus, then the thing to quote is Reish Lakish. So even though Reish Lakish in the, it's always important to know, you know, what's explicit, you know, and then you can really appreciate, you know, the implications, you know, of expanding, and then you can also understand why other people didn't go for it. either they, you know, found alternatives, or even if they wanted to say the same thing, they were more careful, you know, about applying, you know, certain language, or the contrary, they just jumped in, you know, with, you know, all their hands and all their feet, you know, two or more, whatever it is, and like were very enthusiastic and said, yes, this is what it is. You can do no more accurate, you know, a job, you know, than to quote Reish Lakish, you know, when it comes to these matters. So this, you know, from a technical point of view, like where and when and who quotes it, that's one question. But of course, the bigger question is, you know, the question that we're dealing with, which is Reish Lakish, when it's quoted, or at least in the original sources, really means what he says, meaning this is Eidus, and this is, you know, Eidus, even though he might not physically be there, and beyond that, Eidus, you know, even with this remarkable, you know, self-protective, you know, mechanism, or it's all lav dafka, you know, it's just another way of saying that's the effect that you get, you know, but that's not really what it is, and, you know, it's really just anansadi, or maybe even lesser umdana os, etc. So the way you track that, it's hard to track it a little bit. You know, there's a linguistic piece to it. But, you know, tracking it beyond then, especially from my, you know, point of view, you know, becomes a little tough, as we've already noted. Because if you had, like, a clear, absolute breakdown, either umdana or eidus, it would be much easier, right? But if, I think, it, you know, it's definitely true that, you know, that umdana'os, meaning plausibility, plays a role in invoking, you know, the Haggadah Seder's part. So it becomes tricky, you know, to find nafkamina, because, you know, you could, you know, instead of seeing, put it this way, when you have the fullness of the of Reish Lakish, namely the umdana is intact, you know, and you're vadai applying the din of Reish Lakish, you know, so then seeing whether or not the characteristics of this instrument are treated like, you know, eidus or less, you know, that's an easier way, you know, to identify the different shitas. However, trying to, you know, find nafkamina when the issue itself revolves around, you know, not, you know, how much Reish Lakish is going to give you when he applies, you know, but when Reish Lakish actually applies, when you actually invoke Reish Lakish, you know, in what circumstances, that becomes much trickier, as we've already done. I'm just repeating things that we've already said. Because, you know, if the Reish Lakish, if the Eidus part is a function also of the Umdana part, so, you know, there are two ways, you know, to target it. You know, one is to target, you know, the linchpin Umdana foundation, and then everything falls apart, mimela, and that's where it becomes difficult to trace. Or, you know, it's easier if you know, everything is perceived, you know, not on the root part, but in the application part. So that is tricky. The only thing to add to that is what I was saying about the Orzarua and Rabbi Vigdor, you know, and so on. And that is probably, there's a likely tendency that if you take Reish Lakish in terms of Eidus, that you're not always, you know, going to be inclined, you know, to look at each case. You know, you're going to do broadly be based on the Umdana, but you're going to be able to, you know, kind of apply the Umdana in a broader way as well. Okay? So having said that, let's just look at some of the evidence. We began doing this on Sunday, and let's look at it again. So again, linguistically, our Gemara Gittin Beis Amud Beis is, you know, all about Eidus. That's one of the two places. As is Kivin Shehigin Shuveni Kozer Umagid. But we also have, you know, Rashi, you know, who for sure, you know, projected very strongly the notion of the Umdana. Does that mean Rashi is against this principle? And like the Ksos for the Rambam, which was a very, you know, like a very acute example, but the Ksos was saying for the Rambam, when he talked about, you know, Ksav Yad and whether that, you know, is a kiyum daraisa or not. And he was saying, no, that's also kiyum drabana, because you see, for the his take on the Rambam, that, you know, Reish Lakish isn't really about edus. You know, even if you had like actual edus bishtar, that wouldn't work. Never mind, you know, virtual. So, you know, he doesn't say it exactly in these words, but what comes out of the ksosis. So the words of Reish Lakish, right, maksum al shtar, is a misnomer. It means like you get the effect of ke'ilo you had a shtar with an interrogation, you know, but really it's all just, you know, umdada. So that's what Rashi really means, because he says, lo chatzif inish lizyufe, you know, etc. Or again, is he just saying, you know, that's the background. Without that, you know, you wouldn't get, you know, the plausibility for the ages. Hard to say. Definitely the emphasis, you know, is a little jarring if you're a Chaim, you know, school, but still not impossible. As for Ksuvas Yud Chesom Beis, and Kim Shehigin Shuvin Achozer Magid, again, there it's, you know, like Gittin Beis on Beis, the other usage, and as we discussed, you know, with the Rav Avigdor, Tosis in Ksuvas Chav Ches, that might be maybe Beis on Yerushalmi, that might be like the first and the Ikar one, and it's, you know, already pretty mechudash, but not as mechudash as Gittin Dav Gimel. But there, at least, there's no issue of umdana, meaning Kivin Shigit Shuvin Chozer Magid's application to Shtar and Reish Lakish is, you know, you could still say that Reish Lakish is Lavdafka, you know, and maybe it'd be motivated by our Gemara, but, you know, the question in Kivin Shigit Shuvin Chozer Magid has nothing to do with umdana. That's the point I want to make. Meaning, it's there, it's all about an actual equation between Edus Alpeh and Edus Bishad. The din of Edus Alpeh, which is that you can't be Chozer Magid for whatever reason. You know, you have only one opportunity. You know, Kabbalas Edus, you know, is a Chalos in its own right. You know, and therefore, you know, it's not something that you can overturn, you know, with the same power that you, you know, initially created it. You know, whatever it is, you know, that is being applied to Edus Shebishtar, but it has, you know, very little to do with the Umdana. It had nothing to do with Umdana. So there's a Reish Lakish, you know, which is still maybe effect-oriented as opposed to substantive, but at least Umdana is not part of the story. That's the point I want to make in Kivachi. Okay, next. But what about the next lines of the Gemara? So, Ktanim, Psulim, and Anusim. So, I think what we were up to was, if you look at the Gemara, right, the self-protective aspects in the Sugyan Ksuva, somebody just read it again very quickly. Mark, you have it? Just if you could read the Gemara again. Are all umdana'os? And the question is, is this different or not? So that's what I want to examine a little bit more on Yud Chesom and Beis, right? So these are cases where what? You have here the machlokas between Ramei and Rabbanan, where the Modi Bishtar Shekosu Tzarech L'Kaimo or Ein Tzarech L'Kaimo. We could translate that for our, just to make it easier for us, although again, this is, you know, a tricky business. What is that machlokas all about, right? But, you know, in you know, just to make a little bit of a shortcut, right? If you hold what? If you hold like a mayor, so we say modi b'shtar shekosvu ain't tzorech l'kaimo, correct? Well, let's start with Rabbanan. The Rabbanan hold modi b'shtar shekosvu tzorech l'kaimo. So that's another way of saying that what? If you had to just translate it, like, you know, keep trying to get it. What? Tzorech l'kaimo, ain't tzorech. What? Meaning, what's the upshot of it? The effect. We still know what the nature of the machlokas is. A pesha asr pesha hitir, or a migu. Is it a migu or is it a pesha asr pesha hitir? Also a little tricky. Or is it a migu di boy shasik, or is that a pesha asr pesha hitir? Okay. Anyways, we're not learning about Masr, I guess, so we'll try to keep in check. But let's say for the moment, you know, pesha asr pesha hitir, that collides with the protections of the shtar. Let's just say it that way for the moment, right? So the Chachamim say Peshas and Peshahitir wins the war, right? And Rav Meir says the shtar wins the war. Okay. So we're trying to figure out, you know, what is the power of the shtar, you know, based on? So I think it's fair to say that, you know, the more, there are two broad ways to understand this, right? One is Reish Lakish, you know, of Eda Maksum Mala Shtar, right? In which case, all things being equal, you know, nothing should be able to override it, right? Unless, again, you attack the Achilles heel of the whole thing. Meaning the vulnerability is in the plausibility, you know, the umdana aspect. But as I said before, you know, the more inclined you are to think that Reish Lakish is a din and edus, even if it is built on the umdana, you know, you're probably going to have a lot more latitude on the umdana part, you know, as well. Correct? So, you know, it's attractive to maybe think, you know, that Rabbi Meir, you know, is taking a real Reish Lakish, you know, Eidos perspective. And that's why he's saying, you know, it's so formidable, the self-defense mechanism of the shtar. And, you know, other forces just cannot, you know, override it. But it's not mukhrach to say that. And then the Chachamim, you know, it could be that's the argument. And then the Chachamim would be saying, not true. You know, it's not really Eidos Shebishtar. Right? It's an Umdana. So you have a Peshasar against an Umdana. That's if you wanted to understand it that way. You also could say that Rav Meir also thinks, you know, that this is, you know, about an Umdana, just Peshasar, Peshahitir, or Migo, or whatever it is, you know, doesn't, you know, override the migu of the Haganah of the shtar. And you certainly can also say that the Chachamim agree that a shtar, you know, when it's up and running, you know, is operating midin Reish Lakish. But again, since the linchpin is the umdana part, so, you know, you pack that part of it, you know, and everything gets destroyed. So those are, I guess, the three, you know, you could say that it's gufa machlokas about this issue, or everybody agrees umdana, and the question is, you know, the strength of the forces. Or everybody agrees shtaros, and the question is the vulnerability of the umdana to the shtaros. Okay? Now, of course, if it's really just about the forces themselves, you know, there also is an element here that we should just identify. Again, we're not going to be able to pursue this so much. These are our second paragraph of Ksuvah's topics. You know, there's also an issue about migu, or pesha aser. Right, it takes two, you know, to battle, and you know, when you have a struggle, you know, whether it's, you know, a frontal, you know, which force is stronger, or something more subtle, like even if you're going for the Achilles heel, right? Either way, you know, you have to have you have to understand the nature of the forces on both sides. So, there are different levels of umdanaos, of chazakos and robes, etc. And there is certainly debate about the power of a migu, or pesha asar, or a migu dibay shase. How do we know that there is such a discussion or debate? Do we have any information about that? We discussed it a little last year, if those were here. Everybody agrees about the force of Amigu, or Akiva's saying no, he's nodding very vigorously.
In the Rishonah or in the Gemara?
In both.
In the Gemara and like the next stop, Sukkot deals with it, because you should tell also deals with it. Their Ramban has a few comments on
the Shavos. On what?
Their Ramban also has a few comments on like Ein Kol Chazakos.
Well, Ein Kol Chazakos Shavos for sure. What about Migu? Does everybody agree about Migu has a 8.5, you know, power.
Different types of Migu.
First of all, there are different types of Migu.
Migu Biyado, Migu
Amigu, again, a Pesh Asar is at least a stronger Migu. We'll get to in a second, if not more. It could be that a Pesh Asar isn't a Migu at all. That's like beyond Migu. You know, I'll explain that in a minute. But even Migus themselves, certainly Pesh Asar as a Migu is a stronger Migu because it is a kind of Migu Dibay Shasik. Right? All you have to do is, you know, stand by, not say anything, and you'll get your wish. That's different than you need to make a taina, you know, but you have, let's say, what seems to be a better taina. But even within a classic so there's Pesh Asar, there's sometimes what people call like Tosis and Bab Metzia and others, and Tosis here actually in Ksuvas, Migu Dibay Shasik, that's a category. Question, why is that always Pesh Asar? But maybe it isn't. Then you have, you know, within the world of Migu itself, you have different kind of Migus, right? You have a Migu, let's say, what about Migu de Ha'aza, right? A Migu where you could, you know, Taina 1, your alternative Taina will win the day, but at some cost, right? To your self-dignity, meaning like it's uncomfortable for you to make that Taina. That's called a Migu de Ha'aza. And there's a discussion, possibly a machlokas in the Gemara, depending how you understand it, and certainly a machlokas of Rishonim, whether a migu de ha'aza works or not, right? Or a migu, you know, midavar ladavar. There are all sorts of issues on migu. Migu is like a fascinating, they're klalei migu, right? The poskin have klalei migu. The shach has klalei migu. You know, it's a massive topic. Of course, one of the clearest debates about Migu, Arye. Yeah, I mean those are what mean that Migachim Balachish and the whole. Yeah, for sure. But in the Rishonim also, like, what's one of the big issues? What about Migu Lahotzi? Right, the Baalei Tosis all over the place say Migu Lahotzi Lo Amrina. Meaning you can't be motzi mamon, the motzi mechaval of araya is not overridden by a migu. The Ramban, you know, all over the place, says, you are motzi a migu. Then the Rishonim would say, well, it depends what kind of migu. Right. And you're correct. So again, Lamed Beis and Baal Basra. So the point is that if you have, I'm just trying to make a point, that basically, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim seem to be arguing about, you know, either Migu Dibay Shasik, Pesh Asar, Keneged, Chazakos, Shalashtar. And therefore that kind of leads us, objectively, you know, with a lot of options. And therefore, the thing to do is to try to figure out Nafkamina, that's hard, or to use language. And that's a little bit, easier. The argument is about Reish Lakish, the argument is about the Koach of Migu or Pesh Asar, Or the argument is simply about the clash between the various forces. So if there are different chazakos, let's say the Pesh Asar or the Migu is always the same, you know, but some of the defense mechanisms of the different shtaros are different. But the principle of Reish Lakish is always the same. So part of what you would try to do, I'm just giving helpful hints. You know, for somebody who wants to make this a life project, you know, or at least a few months project, is to try to figure out, you know, is it the same? Like we have this discussion, we have it by, you know, Balei Dvarim, we have it, you know, by, you know, Edim, right? The Gemara in Baal Basra, for example, Yitzhak?
The Gemara in Baal Basra, Kukim Dalet.
Yeah.
Suggests
that you might be Michalik, right?
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, read from the beginning of the Gemara, or just where we have the
Tzricha? Yeah, that Tzricha is fine.
So, Tzricha, Diyad Bar Hahi, Dach and Gemara in Subis, Bahi Kami Rabbana, Nisham Dali, Edim Umar Ishtara. That Edim are more powerful, and they have a power to ruin the Shtara. But the Baldavar, if he's claiming the
Yeah. So it sounds like Edim have a more plausible chance, right, against the shtar if they have, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, this is something to integrate with the discussion of Rabbi Avigdor, the Or Zeruah, again, Rabbi Avigdor also seemed to say that the Edom themselves, or maybe other Edom, are more powerful than the Baldover, right? And the Shach, for example, as we say, was Mistapek, even though the Ksos presents him as, in the end, equating, Baldover and Edom, but the Nesivos, I think, correctly points out that he doesn't. Okay, so the point is that there are important differences. So if we're talking about, possibly distinguishing in these issues between, something like Mezuyaf, Amana, Moda'a, Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy, right? So again, there are two, it's a little complicated, there are two possibilities. Again, the Migu is probably the same. The Pesha Asar is the same. What it's coming up against is different. But what it's coming up against is different on the Umdana level, like Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy, Chazaka, Ein Maximim, Ein Machtimim, Ktanim, and so on, things like that. Some of those are more compelling than others. Or, which I prefer, I think Reb Chaim prefers, or it goes to the question of Reish Lakish itself. Meaning, even if the Umdana'os are relatively the same, right, the expansion of Reish Lakish's, self-defense mechanism, to neutralize various claims might be different, right? And that's where you get to the, core catch-22 issue of Mezuyaf, which is the best and the worst, as opposed to the Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy, opposite, which is the best and the worst, and then a range of things in between. The Edom are psulim, but they did sign. It's an amana, so it isn't an effective shtar, but it is a kosher shtar, moda'a, maybe even to distinguish between amana and moda'a, etc. If you make distinctions, either it's because you think, that the umdana'os are of different strength, or you're saying it all has to do with this lamdasha question about Reish Lakish. So that's kind of the pattern, that I wanted to look at. Okay. So now let's look at some pratim. So Rashi, I think Mark was reading, right? So number one, we mentioned already yesterday the question of, Tosis on Yud Tes Amud Aleph, the top Tosis. Right, what happens? Reish Lakish is quoted here, but in terms of the Umdanos, not in terms of Bishlam Psula Edus, Mavagufamikar Medek Dayek, Rektanim Nami Kid Reish Lakish. We don't know if that's connected or not. Chazokan and Mchos Mal Shtar Elim Kenasa Begadol, right? Elanusin Mai Taima. Right, and the answer is Kasavra Meir Edim Shamrlem Chismu Sheker Alte Hargu. Right, and then the Gemara goes back on that, etc. Good. So Modi Bishtar Shakas Tzorch Lekai. So the on Tosis Dibramas of Chazaka Elim Chosim Al Shtar Elim Kenasa Begadol. Tosis. We already noted, says Hakamash Medlomina Migu b'Makom Chazaka, Rabbanan Amrina. Sounds like the Machlokas Rabbi Meir. This is just like an example of what we've been doing. The Machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is Migu b'Makom Chazaka. The only problem with that is that would be fine. That would be great. The Migu is a Migu. That's clear. And the Chazaka is a Chazaka. Nothing to do with Eidos. Right. The only problem with that is it clashes with the Gemara in Baba Basra, where Migu b'Makom Chazaka is a Bayit Leif. So again, if you take the view that this is, Eidus, at least part of it you can understand. You can understand the Tzad, to side with the shtar, there are other ways to get out of the problem. I think I mentioned that the Rajba suggests, you know, ein kol hachazakos shavos, ein kol hamigus shavos, right? There are different levels of migu, you know, as well. Clearly, the Rajba, you know, wanted to answer this question without, you know, invoking, you know, edus. Now, again, because edus isn't true, or because either way the edus, you know, is contingent upon, you know, the chazaka. If there's no chazaka, there's no edus. Hard to know. But either way, you know, the best answer for Tosis would be, you know, at least on one half of the problem, that this is a din of edus. Okay. So that's number one. Oh. Now let's look, Tuvia, if you don't mind, at the interesting discussion between Rashi and Tosis and some of the other Tosis in here. So, yeah, Rashi, Yud Tes Amud Aleph. Yeah. It seems like Tosis is very fluid in the whole sugya, and that we're going to get to that Tosis in just a minute. The one in Yud Ches Amud Beis,
yeah,
which is based on the Gemara in Yud Tes Amud Beis. Again, the reason I'm not sure is because of the last thing that I said, meaning it could be that what Tosis would tell you is yes, that it's migo b'makom edim, but it's only migo b'makom edim if the chazaka, you know, survives. So, you know, if you hold, you know, that migu overrules a chazaka, so then there's no edus. You know what I'm saying? But I do think in tone that, and it doesn't trouble me, because Bali Tosis aren't all of one, it's not one person, it's a school. And they also deal, I'll try to show even in here, the inamis are sometimes wide-ranging. But I do, yes, my initial presentation is that leaving this as Migu B'mokum Chazaka, even though I can read it that way, you know, is one view, and the other Tosis, which we'll get to in a minute, is the other view. Okay. Rashi and Yud Tes Amud Aleph, Dibra Maschol, Eina Malva. You have that, Tobia?
Yeah.
So again, what are we trying to explain? Eina Malva Tzorach L'Kaimo, meaning that the shtar protects itself. What's the case? It sounds like a shtar Chabiyadim. My boy, okay, what does Rashi say? So what do you make of it? What does it sound like? This sounds like edus. It sounds like, you know, once the shtar is, you know, mekuyam, so then the statement of shtar chabiyadi my boy is edus. Correct? Yeah. So Tosus on Yud Tes Amud Aleph disagrees with this. Go ahead. Ibn Tomar. My tamalom hemdet bimigu di bayamar mezuya. Migu di bayamar mezuya, right? And then you would need, you know, he should be neman to say parua. Yeah? Okay. Neshlomar.
Neshlomar shem yare lo belomar mezuya, ten yafi
shuru, vilechem. So instead of saying this is migu, getting back to Josh's point from before, you could have said this is just migu b'mako medim, which is kind of what, you know, Rashi's saying, right? Tosis is saying it's a shvacha migu. It's a, you know, it's a migu that's, you know, he's reticent, you know, to claim mizuyaf, you know, when it isn't. Correct? And therefore the migu is compromised. But in a chanami, if you had a good migu, then this would not be migu b'makom edim, even though he's mekayim the shtar. Correct? That's very different than what Rashi says, as he himself will point out. Pirush Bekuntres, he actually even expands Rashi more. Go ahead. So that's even a stronger statement than what we have in our Rashi. Our Rashi says, oh, he's Mekayim, and therefore it's like Migu Keneged Eidim, practically. Right? Here he's saying, well, Rashi elsewhere says even more, and that is that the din of Kiyum Shtaros Derabanan, this is fascinating, is only in Tainas Mezuyah. But if it was Taina, some other Taina, even Midrabanan, you wouldn't need Kiyum. Why? Because Mizuyaf is the most core, but it's also, as we said, the most vulnerable. It's the most catch-22, right? But other things, I mean, you might have said, and most people believe, Tosis believes, that once there's a din of Kim Shtaros Drabanan, that's going to apply across the board. It might even be a positive prerequisite, like the Ritva says, or like Tosis says in other places. Namely, Kim Shtaros Drabanan means every star, according to some Rishonim, that appears or that surfaces, needs to have a kiyum, otherwise it's a chaspa b'yama. Meaning it was a standard that was imposed by the Rabbanan, that even though Doraisa, you don't need kiyum shtaros, midrabbanan, it's a sine qua non, it's a shiur, it's a t'nai in shame shtar. Otherwise it's chaspa b'yama. Right? We had the Ritva of Gimla ben Aleph, some of the Bali Tosas say it also. Correct? Therefore it doesn't even matter what the claim is. That's one level. The next level is, okay, there's no, you don't need kiyum necessarily, you know, to be a shtar, but any taina, you know, is going to be included under the rubric, you know, of kiyum shtaros derabanan, you know, because we don't believe mezuyaf either, right? So when you're ma'arer and you, now again, you could look at that in two ways. If any taina will trigger kiyum, any kind taina, in other words, that would disable shtar if it were true, can trigger the need for kiyum derabanan. Is that because, you know, then, you know, we need a higher level of shtar, right? Or is that because, you know, once there's any kind of error, there's midrabanan, there's no defense mechanism, right? Now it's a din in. You know, it's still a din in the quality of a shtar, right? Or no, midrabanan, we're choshesh. Hard to know. But if you're going to be mechalek, you know, between different tainos, then certainly what you're saying is that, you know, kiyum, you know, derabanan A is not a positive prerequisite, you know, it's chas b'yalam, it's not across the board A. And B, that much of Reish Lakish, Eina Machsum al Ashtar, for many Tainos, is completely intact, even on a Derabanan level. So this really bespeaks, likely, of a Shtaros perspective, I mean, of a Eidos perspective on Reish Lakish. Okay? And then, of course, what yes, what not, becomes a function, you know, not necessarily of the Umdana, but again, of the kind of taina it is. Okay. Of the shar tainos, kigom parua, lo etzrichu, kiyu. Okay, the chenir l'ri. Go ahead. And then he has another terrific line. Go ahead. Avlein l'parish.
Avlein l'parish, the lo mehem and v'migu lo mar parua hu, di parish tara v'yade my boy.
Meaning it's another perspective. Why not say the reason that the migu doesn't work here, not because the migu is weak, right? Not because the shtar, even midrabanan, you know, protects itself, you know, and that the drabanan is limited to mizuya. Why not say, because the counterforce, which is shtar chabiyari my boy, is so powerful. That's what we're saying. That one of the possibilities here, it's just, you know, it's not side A's weakness, and it's not side B's strength. Because the more it's side A's weakness or side B's strength, that is likely, not muhrak, but that's likely to be true across the board for different tainas. In other words, put in what you may, whether it's amana, whether it's anusim, whether it's mezuya, for the sharka b'yoni, my boy. You know, in the end of the day, if it's about the weakness of the migu, or the strength, you know, of or weakness of the umdana, you know, so they're more likely to be substitutable one for the other. Right? I'm sorry. If it's about the edus, then it's more likely to be that. However, if it's about, you know, the counter pressure, then maybe different counter pressures, you know, have different force. So shtarcha b'yadi my boy, you know, might be stronger or weaker than lochatza finish, you know, lezayif or you know, chazaka, you know, inan amachtim esakatan, etc. Right? So that's what he's saying, basically. Maybe it's a shtarcha b'yadi my boy defense issue. Yeah, Ezra. What?
Yeah.
Right, so what I'm saying is that the more you think that, like, the umdana generally props up the edus, but you don't look at it like in each and every case, you know, ask me a broader question. Why isn't it always true that you should never get the benefit? This goes back to our discussions of, you know, Rabba Vigdor and the Or Zeruah, you know, and so on. Like, it's very hard to say in the Or Zeruah case, I'm just repeating what I said the other day, very hard to say in the Or Zeruah case that there's a strong umdana, you know, that there was kiddusha. Right? Because, you know, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's kind of, you know, everybody's coming forward. This one said it's a fraud, that one said it's a fraud, the next one said it's a fraud. Right? But, in general, there are umdana'os not, you know, so it's a low plug umdana'os, or it's like, yes, if this was only about the umdana'os, then we'd be more flexible and we'd evaluate it based on each case, the cumulative evidence, and so on and so forth. But, you know, since it's the shtar propped up by a broad umdana, you know, so, you know, you don't evaluate it by the umdana, you know, in a specific way. That's what I'm suggesting. What? The Rabbanon are saying that the Migu beats the Chazak, and Rabbi Meir is saying it does. I'm trying to explain more. I guess I'm trying to explain more Rabbi Meir.
So when you give that answer, Rabbi,
yeah. Because I'm trying to explain why it's a Baya Delo Ifshita in Bava Basra, and here there's a Deya that says it, you know, for sure will not win. You're right. You also have to get the other side of it, 100%. Okay, so what's he saying about Shtarcha B'yadi my boy? Maybe it's Shtarcha B'yadi my boy. That's the wild card. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, so this is good or not? Why? No, but he says something that's very vulnerable, but that's still fascinating. He says, listen, it can't be Shtarcha B'yadi my boy, because you have the parallel machlokes about a mana. So if it was shtarcha b'yadi my boy, there's no shtarcha b'yadi my boy in a mana. So what do we see? That it's not the specific counterforce that's defending the shtar, because there are different levels of counterforce. It must be a unified, if it's a unified theory, so it's either got to be the weakness or strength of the migu, or something else. What's the something else? I think there's something else. For Rashi, the something else is the shtar, Reish Lakish, Eidem Asum al Ashtar. Right? I mean, you could say, they have Shtar Chabiyon and my boy, and maybe Amana has something equally powerful. But okay, that breaks it down into two. That's a coincidence? No, not necessarily. But if both Shtar Chabiyon and my boy and Amana are just the plausibility factors for the Eidem of the shtar, then it really is Peshas and Peshahitir against Reish Lakish. That's the same. It's not Shtarcha B'yadi my boy per se. It's Shtarcha B'yadi my boy as a basis for Eidos Shevishtar. Okay, I'm just trying to show that some of the Rishonim themselves are employing some of the mechanisms that I was talking about before. Namely, are all machloksim about star defense the same or not? And if not, you know, why not? Because of the umdanas or because of, you know, the scope of the, you know, of the Edus Shabishtar vis-a-vis the particular issue that we're talking about. Everybody with me? Like, it would be fascinating to think, like, maybe Shtar Chabyari Maibai, you know, maybe is a strong, you know, stronger umdana in some sense, you know, but as we've said, but in terms of Reish Lakish, you know, it's not, you know, it's not a self-protective, you know, issue about the validity of the shtar. It's only about a self-protective issue about the continued effectiveness of the shtar. You know, that's a huge step removed. That's a reason in the other direction, right? As we discussed, same thing, like shlichus or shtaraya. The more extraneous you get, the less Reish Lakish, although, you know, the more, you know, you're away from the catch 22. Okay. But you see the Bali Tosis and others are really contending directly, you know, with this issue. Okay, anyways, his view of the Rashi that he quotes is even more expansive than the Rashi here. Okay, next. Tosis Yud Tesom and Aleph, we did already. Let's go back to let's go back to Tosis on Yud Chesom Beis. Okay, the one that Josh mentioned. Josh, you have it there? That is the one, Dibra Maschil Hare. I just want to show a few of these. Again, they're all over the place in these Dapamin Ksuvas and parallel, you know, in Sugis and Bav Basra, a little bit above Metzia. We're gonna try to, you know, do as little as we can, but just a few, just especially, you know, the Rashi and Tosis on the Daf here, just to highlight that these are the discussions that are going on. Okay. Hare Elu Nemanim, what's the background?
So the Mishnah says that if they say Ksavya Deinu Huzeh, Aval Nusim Kitanim, and you know, so then they're Nemanim.
If they say Ksavya Deinu Huzeh, right, so they're Nemanim. So that sounds like what? The Migu beats out the defense of the Shtar, correct? So Tosis here jumps in, Bim Tomar. Oh. So that, of course, is a very strong Lashon. Now, again, you know, we're also trying to be fair, you know, and intellectually honest. So, we do know that, you know, that Anan Sahadi, the phrase Anan Sahadi, sometimes very strong chazakos are called, you know, Anan Sahadi, like the, you know, like we were talking about, the Nesivos and, you know, and the Xos, you know, in different places. You know, they're suggesting that a very, very powerful chazaka can be the equivalent of, I mean, it's almost like there's no latest asafek or something like that. But default, when we see, you know, migu b'mokom edim, certainly we have every right to think that we're not just talking about a very strong chazaka, but we're invoking something very specific. Because as strong as any chazaka is, in the end of the day, you know, it's never as strong as two edim, which is vadai, and about which you say trei kameya. And one of the reasons that migu doesn't work keneged edim, you know, is because of trei kameya. You just can't do more than, you know, than edim. So when Tosa says it's migu b'mokom edim, right, that gets an exclamation point or an underline, whatever. But it's not just Tosis, right? Again, he says migu b'mokom edim, then he adds danan sadi. That doesn't trouble me. Is that his way of, you know, saying, oh, it's a tremendously strong chazaka? Or is that, he's just explaining what we mean, because it's only virtual, right? Shaloa yuanusim, philopsuleidus, and but he proves it from lekaman. What's lekaman? Lekaman amrinan treu treinenu. It's based on the Gemara. The Gemara calls, you know, the defense mechanism of the shtar, which is attacked by other edim, the Gemara calls that trey or trey. Okay, what's the other case there, just very quickly?
Yeah,
that's on Yud Tesamid Beis. Right, what's the case? Yeah, exactly. So Shnaim Chasum al Ashtar Mesu. Yeah. Ubo Shnaim and Ashuk.
Bamru Yadana Shiksav Yadamu. Nusumayinu, Kamhayu, Sulum Edis Hayu.
So not them, but other Edim, and they're no longer even alive. Right? So do we believe two Edim against Reish Lakish, basically? Ashtar. So you would have thought, of course you believe the two Edim. They're Edim. Right? So what is the, and what do we say? Haredim Nemanim. Okay. The Im Yesh Edim Sheksav Yadim Huzeh. Okay, but that, because at least then you don't need them as a migu. You know, there's every good reason to think that they are authentic edim. Okay. Either way, the Gemara wants to know about which case, the first case or the second case?
First.
Yeah. The first case. Meaning why are they believed when they're no longer alive? Right, and they're saying, you know, that they're a new sim. They were a new sim, right? And there's no, you know, ksav yadam yotzi mimokam acher. So they're also being mekayim the shtar, right? So basically, it's migu, right? But it's migu and edim against the shtar, right? You seem unhappy.
I'm not misreading Mark. Are we asking on the second case? I mean, in the first case, the Edim who mess up the Shtar believe. Because they have a Pesha Azura Pesha Edim.
No, we're asking.
In the second case, you're going to be like, Diabe, Kishtar, Ma'aliyah. Don't you have two Edim that are rejected in Kashrus and Shtar? Let's try your try.
Right.
So that, I thought
wait a second.
Ma'binunbe is the Shtar is Bitmiya. So which case are you going to treat like a good star? So I thought that was...
So you have a migu. I don't know, I think it's in the... One second, am I getting it wrong?
Yeah.
What?
The first case was...
Yeah, right.
No, both of them, the second edim who are coming, are saying you're psulim when you sign. That's both cases. The first case is where they have Peshar Sol Peshar.
They have a Shnaim Shechasum Ashar Mesu, Bo Shnaim El Ashuk, Rami Yadanu Shechasab, not answering, I understand your question. Aval Anusama Yuktanu Yipsle, Desa Yu, Hare Elu Nemanim.
Meaning the star is not good.
Hare Elu Nemanim, the star is not good. The Gemara says, why isn't it good? It's Trey or Trey.
No, that's what?
Vamai, Trey or Trey, Nino. Says the Gemara, Zel Samaris HaKosha Tilas HaZamav. Then the Gemara rejects that. Then the Gemara comes 1 second. To the end, what does it say? Elam Rav Nachman, Uki Trey Lahadi Trey, Uki Mamona Becheskas Mare. So that is, the Gemara says that we're treating the defense of the shtar as Trey. That's where Tosus gets it from.
That's not true in the first case. In the first case, they get kicked out. In the second case is where we treat the shtar as good. The line of Magbinon Bay, I could be wrong, I couldn't misunderstand it.
Are we reading along? Maybe.
It's Mia. Rashi says, well, we're gonna treat the shtar as a good shtar. How could that be? So that's only true in the second case.
Is that true? Maybe I'm just confusing the case. 1 second. What does Rashi say? Maybe I got it. I'll have to look at the Shakatari again. But I thought what Tosus is saying. 1 second.
How do you say that?
One second. Even if it's on the second case, it's still trade
reference
to the star. Right.
But it has nothing to do with the
meeting. So the Kamana mean
a tray or train there. Or there isn't the meeting. Because there's
you know, I'll look at it again. I think it's correct what we said, but I'll look at it again. I just don't want to take the time. Either way, what is Tosas' answer to this question? Josh? Tosas rejects it and says that it's... Okay, Tosas' case certainly is what? That this is Migu B'mokom Edim in a case where you have Migu against the protection of the Shtar. So the protection of the Shtar is to Edim, correct? So what is Tosas' answer? Tosas' answer could have, should have been, it's not Migu against Edim, it's Migu against the Chazaka. Okay, V'yei Shlomar. Yeah. Okay, meaning what? So Tosas is retracting or not retracting? They are or they're not?
They're not.
They're not. Tosas is not saying this is Chazaka, this is Migu Kenegev Chazaka, correct? They're saying in Achanami, this is Migu Keneged Edim. However, in the end of the day, you're still lacking Kiyum. Tosas is assuming here that you need Kiyum. What? In order to go forward. I don't even know if it's a trigger Reish Lakish, but. But, you know, the meaning you need Kiyum in this case. So Tos assuming a little bit something about...
It sounds like from the next line, like Aval HaKamon Chashvin Hu Kishnei
Edim. Aval HaKamon Chashvin Hu Kishnei Edim, right? Right, exactly. Shek Sav Yadam Yotzi Mimokam Acher.
You need Kiyum in order to have the fullest extent of
Rishlakish. Right, so basically what, or either that, or you need Kiyum Midrabanan just to move forward, one or the other. Okay. But the point is that there's no retraction that this constitutes the Gemara, but this constitutes Migu B'Mokom Edim. It's a little bit tricky also because the Mishnah says Harei Elu Nemanim. I should add, this is also the way that Reb Chaim understands this case. If you look at the piece in Perek Yud Beis, Hilchos Geirushin Halacha Gimel. Again, also there he says the Chisaron is not, the problem, is this is Migo Mokamedim, the reason, or Pashas and Pashiyat Mokamedim. It's not that you override the Edus Shabashtar, it's that you're lacking Kiyum. The problem with it a little bit is, it's a little bit Chudash, because the Mishnah says Harelu Nemanim. Right? It sounds like the people of the Peshas of Peshahitir are Naaman, but actually it's not really that they're Naamanim, it's the effect of Naamanim, right? The real reason that the Shtar is ineffective is because it's lacking Kiyum. Yeah.
Doesn't it sound from Tosu that from the next Tosu as well, we're a Naamanim because Migo Makom Edim, which would imply that we are Naamanim.
Which Tosa are you talking about?
The next.
So the next one.
Where he explains.
So we can do the next one also. Yeah, I want to do the next one also. That's let's do one at a time. I'm just trying to show there are different. So this one is basically saying the question was it's Migo B'Mokom Edim, right? And therefore it shouldn't work.
But it seems like
the answer. One second. The answer is it's not. You're right. It's Migo B'Mokom Edim. The Migo doesn't win. Right, but what the Migu does is it negates the necessary Kiyum. And in the absence of Kiyum, right, the Shtar is not going to be effective, since it's an error. But there's no retraction of this being Eidos. Okay, now the next one, let's do the next one now. What is the next? Go ahead, Yudidya. Einamanim, that's the other case, right? Einamanim is which case? It's against. There's no right. So now the question is, there's no ksav yad. It's ksav yad yotzei b'makom acher. So they don't have the pesha asar, correct? Now Tosas wants to know, but there's another migu, Einamanim Hakalekalak Shuye de Lahemno Bemigu, right? Migu di Boy Omar Umri rather Paruahu. Right? What does that look like? Migu di Boy Omar Parua, and he wouldn't have to pay. I mean Edim. Right? Edim say, you know, this shtar, which is which is made on this transaction, you know, is a kosher shtar, right? But it's Perua. Everybody agrees that that will be Neman. That's never Trey, right? That's one of the things we're trying to point out here, right? When it comes to shtar chabiyadi, my boy, no one ever says that Edom who say that there's Piron is Trey, right? It's only when it comes to, you know, some sort of conflict regarding Mizuyaf, Amana, you know, something like that, that you'll say trade. That already, you know, reflects, we talked about this earlier when we talked about Shtar Chabiyadi Maibai, that Shtar Chabiyadi is extraneous because it's omed lepiron, right? Meaning the core part of the shtar is that it's real, right? The core part of the shtar is not that it never gets nifra. It's supposed to be nifra. So there's never trade when it comes to Shtar Chabiyadi Maibai. That's one of the things that highlights the difference. But the point is, so you're always going to be Neman. So lehemna migu di boy amar parua, Neman lomar anusim. Correct? That's a question. Why don't you say that there's a migu, you know, namely the chachamim who think that pesh also pesh iter migu, whatever it is. Maybe that's a difference. That, you know, this is going to work, not remeir, right? So why does it work here with, instead of Pesha also Pesha Hittir of Ksavyado, or Ksavyadenu Huzeh, right? Let it be Migudi Boy Omri Paruahu, Neman Lomar, that the shtar is broken mitchila, right? So that's what Tosis is asking. Di Boy Om Paruah, the Kivan, the Mikuyam, here it is Mikuyam. It's only a question of the extended sway of Reish Lakish vis-a-vis the effectiveness, you know, of the shtar going forward, not the kashrus of the shtar in a core way. So he says that's migu b'makom edim, k'dipirashnu. That's migu b'makom edim. So that's consistent. Like he said before, it's migu b'makom edim. How come in some case, if it's migu b'makom edim, how does the migu ever help you? And so the migu doesn't help you. You just, if you need kiyum and you don't have it, you can't move forward. But here that's not the problem, because it's mekuyam, just like the case on Yotesa Beis. So it's not a chaspa bialma or anything, however you want to formulate the positive requirement of kiyum, either in general or, you know, in the case where there's some sort of an error or however you want to say it. It's a problem of, but I have a migu against the defense mechanism of the shtar. Migu di boyam or paraiti, neman lomar, you know, that this is ktanim or anusim or psulim. That's what Tosa says. No, that's migu b'makamed. Yeah.
Couldn't you also read Tosa's here by saying only when it's mekuyam you have migu b'makamedim? Anytime it's not kiyam, it's not migu.
No, but I think you could say that, I don't think you need to say that. I think what he's saying is, if it wasn't for the fact that it was mekuyam, right, then you would have the same problem. Namely, you'd have a shtar which isn't mekuyam, and you know, because of the migu, we wouldn't consider it mekuyam, right? But this is mekuyam, and therefore that part of the problem, namely what I spoke about, I think the kiddi birashim. In the previous piece, I explained that, you know, even, you know, when something is a migu b'makom edim, right, the migu or the pesha asar can still negate the kiyum, and in the absence of kiyum, you're still going to be stuck, right? And now what I'm saying is that's not an issue, you know, if we're talking about migu of shtar chabiyadi, my boy, when sabiyadim yotzi mimakom acher, because it is mekuyam, not You're adding something else. Could you also, I just don't think Tosis is saying it. Could you say that on a Drabbanan level, let's say, that the din of Reish Lakish, you know, is expanded, I think that's what Josh is saying a little bit also, but I don't think it's said in Gemara either, is expanded by being Makuya.
But
I don't think that Tosis is saying that or needs to say that.
I mean, because it's not going to act back to Tosos on Gimel, where he assumes that Reish Lakish only works as some sort of deterrent against Iror, but it doesn't actually, Ashtar without Kiyam doesn't actually protect us against Iror Bichlal. And therefore, Ashtar.
So I think there are different views in Tosis, all over Shas, on whether Ashtar, Beli Iror, or even where the Iror itself is not effective per se, because of Kim Shtaros being Durabanan, is the equivalent of Chas Babialma, with, or at least from Makom Iror, needs Kiyum to move forward. I think that is, there are different deos than that. Okay, the Ode, on the other hand, the second answer, go ahead, who was reading? Were you reading? Oh, yeah. This one, yeah. Yeah,
Ode
the Chozer Magidim Haim. So that's a different answer completely. They were saying is, it's not a problem, it's migo b'mokom edim, right? It's not a problem migo b'mokom edim. It's kim chigit shuv inochozer magid. The ode, this of course a completely, there's three answers, right? The b'shnei edim lomrin amigu. Meaning, if it's, but again, not Pesha Asar, but Migudi by Shasik, meaning, two people can't get their story right if they need a story, but if they can just be quiet and just, let things take their course legally, then the intervention that they make, speaks, to their honesty, right, or gives them more, power. Depending on how you understand Miku. Okay? So that again, the three deos in Tosis here are very very significant. Okay. If you look on Tosis on your Testament base, I'm going to stop in a minute. Let me just get a couple more in very quickly. Tosis your Testament base is also very fascinating. In that Sugya, again, I'll look at Sugya again just to make sure that we read it right. But Tosis is bothered by a question. Josh, you were reading it before? Tosis bothered by a question. If Tzavyanim is Yotzim Mimakam Acher, so these Edom will come along and they say Psulim, right? They don't have a Migo or a Pesha Asar or whatever it is, so we don't believe them. Correct? So the question is, why don't we believe them? Yeah, go ahead. Why don't you believe them? It's like Edus Agavra. So this is, of course, a very tricky issue. Two Edom come to court, they say, that two people are Psulim Le'edus. Is the Kabbalas Edus on the Gavra Edim? Like, where do they file this? Right? There's now an accusation that, Reuven and Shimon are not kosher Edim. It's about their personal status. But the only reason we care about this are these two people. It's not gossip, and it's not, we're not keeping a dossier, not like the NSA, like we're collecting everybody's, or China, everybody's information, right? We believe in privacy. So, what do we care? The answer is because they're signed on this shtar, so their status is relevant, vis-a-vis this shtar milva, this shtar mecher, this get, this shtar kiddushin, this shtar shikur, right? So that's a question. That's an interesting question, very similar to the hazama problem, except, yeah, in the hazama problem it's even a little trickier in a way, but it's very parallel. In other words, Imanoe Yisem Baoso, Baoso Yom Baoso Mako. So, who cares? It's not a travelogue. It's nobody's business where these people were or weren't, right? But if that's, you know, going to determine that their edus, you know, is compromised, see, I'm keeping Chicago out of it so far. So, yeah, I consider Tuvia to be like already a New Yorker, so, or a Pennsylvanian, one of the other. Yeah. So, you consider him a Pennsylvanian? Yeah. Okay. I guess you have a question also, right? I hear that. I mean, you might be a New Yorker already. Yeah.
We should ask for Reed tomorrow.
Ah, okay. We should leave this one, big one, up to him. Okay, I'm willing to do that. Okay, so psuli edus diktani, lo shomrim shadayim psulim, raidim kain amayin amanim, el psudeis havu az viatamodim shem kshem. Okay, so that's interesting. The Ritva has a slightly different. They're no longer alive. Right? If they're alive, is that better or worse? It might be that both are true. But what this is all about, of course, is the question of Kabbalah Seidus. Right. However, it's possible to say something a little bit different. The Tosa Rush says basically, it's not, and Reb Chaim says something, I think, similar to this. The defense mechanism of the individual doesn't come from them, right? It comes from the shtar. So, in that respect, maybe even if they are alive, right, the Kabbalah's edus is on the edus sheb shtar. That doesn't have to be that this case is only a case. It's a hechatimtzi answer. A hechatimtzi answer that makes sense. You know, now they're ksherim, they used to be psula. Or they're no longer alive. Now, I would say it a little differently, but what I would say is, going back to kind of what I said about Hazama back in the day, Hazama and Shtaros and the Balamor, and that is that the din of Reish Lakish is never about Gavra Edim. It's about Chefza Shel Edus. That's the whole point. Because the Edim, for all we know, didn't see anything. And certainly if we're talking about, you know, defending them, it's not about them and their cheskes kashrus. It's about the cheskes kashrus of the shtar. Maybe that's what Tosa Rosh really means. So the more you think of Reish Lakish in that way, as opposed to just like, you know, it's a numdana, we can answer this question without hechatimtzis. Okay. Well, let me just mention one other thing. And then we'll stop. We'll stop here. So, the Gemara in Yud Tes Amud Aleph discusses the Shtar Amana. And I'll just point out two little tosas in. Number one, the Gemara on Yud Tes Amud Aleph. Sorry, is it Yutes Amud Aleph or Yutes Amud Beis? Yutes Amud Aleph, yeah. The little tosis, Uke Derav. Vim Tomar Tarti Mili Derav Lomali. Yeshom B'dechad Michal Chaverta Yitmar. Like, what do you need this Motiv B'Shtar Shekosu Tzorech L'Kaimo, you know, discussion about Shtar Amana when you already have it by Shtar Chavyoni, my boy? In a way, it's like the flip side of, you know, the Tosis that we saw in Yud Ches Amud Aleph, where Tosis is saying, the issue can't be, you know, Shtar Chav Yoni, my boy, because the Gemara says the same thing about Amanu. Right. So you see, you know, that it's either about the power of the Migu, maybe that's what Tosis meant there, or about the nature of Reish Lakish, whether it's, you know, Eidos, or whether it's an umdana, etc. But in a kind of half parallel way, it's also in your testimony, it's like, what do we need this whole discussion again for? It's like the opposite, almost. Like, it's the same thing, right? It also says, yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. But it may not be the same thing. You know, A, because of Tosis's previous question, you know, maybe each force you know, counteracts it a different way. But, you know, from my point of view, even more important is that the self-protective mechanism of Reish Lakish, you know, may treat Shtar Amana very differently than Shtar Chabyani, my boy. Like, that's a very reasonable, you know, position. For the same reason, again, that you might get, you know, the equivalent of Treu Trey or Migo B'Mokom Edim in Shtar Amana, and you might not get that in Shtar Chabyani, my boy. Right? So finally, just one final point on that in that regard, and that is this Tosis here kind of really says this on Yud Tes Amud Beis. If you look at Amar Rav Nachman, right? Einim she'omru amanu ha'yu dvarenu, ein emanu. Sorry, I'm going to stop 1 minute. Al korchach be'ein tzav yadim yotzim b'mokam acher, Iri, meaning we got it, we must be talking about a Pesh Osa Pesh Shehitir case here. So it must be a case of what? It must be a case of ain ksav yadam yotzei b'makom acher, which means that there's a pesha asar. The kasha, the amai lo mehemni, if it's a bimigu, the Rav Nachman gufe isle la'el, Migu lifsal hashtar. He holds like the Rabbanan that Migu is posel the self-defense mechanisms of hashtar. The Kamar kiyasa lekaman ledina amrina luzilu kaimu shtaraychu. Right, v'tutu ledina v'chutu ledina. The mehemanoma parua b'migu demizuyav. The koshkeim edim dali milarue shtara kedamar balbasra. If the Baal can do it. If the Migo of a Baal is effective, the Migo of the Edom should certainly be effective. But there you have the important answer, Vatira Tzri, the Hainutama Dimoda, Hola Modim Shashtar Nichtav, Venimsar Kilchaso, Shuvla Ase Alpel, Mare, Lishtara, Afilobamigu, Velo Domilan Nusimuktanim, Damasnis and Shem Modim, Shayeshtar Kosher Klau, Elisosr Noso, Hilkach Mehemni Bamigu, Velo Shayach Kan Lomar, La osi alpeo mari lishtara, right? She ain't a modim shayashtar. Vamalanami nira dainu taima, the lohemni, etc. What's he saying basically? He's distinguishing between a catch 22, you know, core, you know, defense, which again is more nachutz in one sense, you know, but it's also more problematic. He's saying in that case, that's the Rav Meir and the Chachamim. You're not going to say lo osi, you know, alpe umara le lishtara, because the whole point is we don't know if it's a shtar. We're trying to figure out if it's a shtar. But if you're talking about moda'a, right, and maybe even amana, but you can see why you can distinguish between even moda'a, you know, and amana, but also the difference between amana and psule edus, ktanim, never mind mezuya. So there, even the man Amar who holds in these other cases that Migu or Pesha Asar is going to help you, right? But it's not necessarily going to be able to negate Reish Lakish, right? In a case where there's unquestionably a Chepsa Shel Shtar. Okay, so let's stop here. I'll talk a little bit about Tanina and then hopefully Dachonem Bisurim on Thursday, and we'll move forward. I would speak a little more about Balbasra also, Gufman base, but just for a moment.